Oh man, the Dolphins gotta play the Falcons on Sunday. What is up, Dolphin fans? Kyle, it didn't take me long, bud. I did it right in the intro. And Curry, I appreciate you. I do suck. What is up, everybody? They're coming out hot for you, boy. Let's jump into our sponsors, which we love very, very much. And then we will get into this game coming up on Sunday. We're going to start off with SeatGeek. Again, if you're in the Atlanta area and you'd like to hit up this game, use the promo code FINS. You get $20 off your first purchase. And like Omar said on Tuesday, they got festivals and everything down there as well. So if you're like, hey, I live in Atlanta, but I don't want my eyes to melt out of my head like opening the Ark, go to a festival. Use the promo code FINS. You get $20 off. Indiana Jones reference. You also got Brunt. We are we are in the fall / winter. Omar went out. He used that promo code HMA. He got himself $10 on some, and they got the Brunt. I like the little red in there too. Nice.
Those are red nice. Bottom Brunts, baby.
Hell yeah. Sturdy. Go get yourself some. Go get some pants. Go get whatever you need, especially if you're a Northeasterner like me. Suppose you're going to get a lot of snow this winter. Go out and get yourself some Brunt. And then also, we have to shout out Sleeper. We're going to be doing Sleeper later on because I noticed there's some up and downs that I want to talk about, but I also want to get into the matchups. Because they kind of coincide. So we'll do Sleeper after the first thing, but also go check them out. Use the promo code HMA. You get 100% up to $100. Fantastic, fantastic fantasy app. So Miami Dolphins are taking on the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday in Atlanta. Dolphins only have one player out, which doesn't mean much because they have like 4,000 on IR, but just Julian Hill. Jason Marshall Jr. is questionable. And then you look at the Atlanta Falcons, they have four players out in Billy Bowman Jr., their corner, Devon Diablo, their inside linebacker, Storm Norton, who's a full
practice. Another Storm.
Yeah, wow. He's a full practice, though, so I'm assuming that's just a healthy scratch that they don't need the offensive lineman.
No. He is on IR. He was designated to return this week.
Gotcha. And then Edge, Jaylon Walker is out. And then they got a bunch of questionables with their running back, Tyler Allgeier, safety, Jordan Fuller, Zach Harrison, and Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, but do we want to see a change at quarterback, or would you rather go with Penix opposed to Kirk Cousins?
That's the big question. You want to face Cousins, or do you want to face Penix? Penix up and down.
I don't want Cousins to showcase himself for a trade before the trade deadline. I don't want that kind of performance. I love playing young, inexperienced quarterbacks. Now, with a few exceptions, like Justin Herbert, who balled yesterday, Alan Bouvard, totally killed it. What did he run for, like 80 yards? Like, he just kept taking off on first downs, looked like a gazelle, balled. What was I saying? I like playing young
quarterbacks. You're just an arm queen, Omar. I want you to admit it. That's why you're praising him.
And I got nothing to say about Justin Herbert. I don't want to get yelled at.
Yeah, but Omar made the point, and I know I think you, Doug, made the point that Michael Penix can run hot and cold.
Yeah.
And obviously all quarterbacks operate better when they have time. His variance of performance and accuracy between when he's got time and when he's pressured is up there among like the worst. And I don't think anybody's picking up trading for Kirk Cousins, picking up his contract. But
it's only $20 million now.
That's for half a season, though, right?
Half a season, yeah.
Jesus Christmas.
I mean, I don't know who needs a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think anybody needs a quarterback other than the Jets, and they can wait on him next offseason.
Yeah.
But we don't know who starts for them because Aaron Glenn's not saying, I know, but I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you.
Sorry. That presser.
You can't take a dump on Justin Fields and then return him as your starter, but then you can't replace him with an injured guy and then say, hey, Justin, go on back in the game.
As two well-known beat writers, what was your thoughts? This has nothing to do with any of us. What was your thoughts of that Aaron Glenn presser where he was just very confrontational, very like.
He's not going to tell you who he starts.
I know, but like
it's a bad look. Especially you're 0-7. You're not making the playoffs anyway. Seriously, and what's going to happen is as things go worse and worse, and the fans start giving him more crap, the media is not going to be very kind to him. And that's fair or not? That's a factor in it. You know,
you treat him. He's their own. So he is a former Jet. He's been elevated. You got to give him time. I don't know how short these leashes are in the NFL anymore. I think it used to be 4 years. You got 4 years. Now you get 3 years. Soon we might be going to the NBA style where they'll fire you the first year they hire you.
Jerron Mayo last year.
Cam Cameron. He had one year. Yeah. To go back to Michael Penix, too, I did some research, right? And I try my best. And one of the things I talked about in my preview video today is you need to contain him because that loss to the Carolina Panthers where they got blown out, he only ran twice for 9 yards, kept him in the pocket, attempted 36 passes, 2 interceptions, 172 yards. You can't let him get out. But again, that's like saying, I don't know. This team can't do anything that we ask them to do. So, you know, looking at this game with the Falcons, what are some of your things, we'll start with TD here, that you think that the Dolphins need to do if they want to pull off this victory?
Does TD want to pull off the victory?
Last week you had us beating the Browns, all right? You were the only one.
I had mine beating the Browns. Stop.
I never make that mistake again. Y'all sitting up here talking about some Penix and Kirk Cousins. Does it matter? Does it matter?
Hey, listen, one day they're going to get hot. Bad teams beat teams.
I get it. You know what? I get it, man.
It'll be Thursday, watch.
You know, what does Miami have to do to win this game? First off, you better hope that you get the version of Atlanta's defense that you had last week. Okay, that defense is humming. Okay, they know how to get at your quarterback. They send corner blitzes. They send interior blitzes. They'll overload them too. You got to get the ball out quick, but they want you to because the DBs are coming downhill for bang bangs all day. And man, remember when they played the Bills on primetime. I mean, we all saw it. It was relentless at Josh Allen. And I just kept thinking to myself during that game 2 weeks ago, man, if they play the Dolphins like this, man, I'm worried about Tua. I'm just worried about him seriously making it through that game because they were laying. I think Josh Allen had like 14 points or something like that in the game.
Hey, man, Jonah's coming off his best game in the NFL.
Good for him.
But it was his best.
Omar, you know what? I love that you said that. It's just like when people say Tua's the best quarterback we've had since Marino. It's just like when people say that still ain't saying much. It's still not saying much. It's like having a 4 out of 10 and you got a 5 out of 10 and we
raising prices. He would be like, man, do you know these quarterbacks, the price has gone up on them? Look at Tua's contract.
Man, listen, but the Dolphins at the end of the day, they need a little bit of luck. They needed a little bit of luck. I'm in a state right now. Just keep building and getting better and working on whatever you're struggling with.
You want to play the young players? Keep playing the young players?
Yeah, I actually believe that you need to give them majority of the reps.
We'll talk about that.
Come to the realization of what it is.
Yeah.
Let's focus on these young people, man.
Something I noticed before I go to Allen, looking at the stats, right? You have the Falcons defense, which is good, right? It's very good. Second total, first against the pass, 20th against the rush, 8th in scoring with 20 points. But you look at their red zone, it's not good.
You got to get down there first.
Like the Miami Dolphins red zone is good. Right, which again, you got to get down there first. They are 9th in offensive red zone, and they're 6th in defensive red zone. You look at the Falcons; they're 30th in offensive red zone, 32nd in defensive red zone. So, it's like that bend not break for the Dolphins seems to be working, but it doesn't for the opposite. So, that's something interesting to think of because again, our offense is facing a very good defense. So, Allen, what's your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, well, first off, to me, defensively, is don't let Bijan Robinson go nuts. Exactly. And overall, they did a very good job against Quinshon Judkins. Number two, whoever's playing quarterback, get pressure on them, because, Doug, I hate to contradict you, but I'm going to have to do it. Michael Penix is not a runner. If they get pressure on him, he will not function very properly, and he might chuck it up in the air for a couple of turnovers, which is what the Dolphins are going to need in this game. I actually think the Dolphins are going to keep it close, because there's some professional pride at play here, and they sucked so bad against Cleveland. It was embarrassing, and they've gotten their reputation, like, I mean, like this all week. Mm-hmm. And if they have some pride, they're going to come out with some fire. I still don't think they're good enough to, like, carry it through, but I think they will make it competitive. And, you know, give them a game offensively. We're gonna stick to the running game and all that. We all know it's not gonna happen, and the Dolphins are not gonna run, like, pound the ball from beginning to end. They're gonna have spurts like they always do, and they're gonna have spurts where it's 1 yard, 0 yards, minus two, 1 yard, and then they're gonna have to throw the ball regardless.
One more.
To me, this game comes down to are other weapons gonna step up? Right now, Jaylen Waddle and Devon Achane, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Who else is offensive weapons?
No, is he even on the field?
One catch last week. He says, according to him, there were some chemistry communication issues that he was working. He was, you know, it was, you know, things weren't in sync with Tua. He took that on the chin.
First, you got to see him, right? You got to see him first, right?
Oh yeah, okay. Right. Oh yeah. Listen, Linda. Linda.
I don't know if this Wi-Fi is plugging it.
He has never shied away from the fact that he's not the tallest quarterback, and he needs passing lanes, as do most quarterbacks. What quarterback do you know is looking over the offensive line?
Herbert.
Other than Josh Herbert and Josh Allen.
Omar, here's the thing. Omar, if he's throwing to a spot, which is so popular, why does he need to see over the offensive lineman? He's throwing to the spot. It doesn't change whether he can see it or not.
Yes, he does.
That is technically true, but a lot of teams are now they're
in that spot.
Passing lanes. Huh?
They're in that spot. Now he got to look to see if they hit the spot. So he actually has to.
You are 1,000% right. Like, hey man,
you're gonna go there.
I did it. Yes, I did. Okay. I ask a question again. Other than Jaylen Waddle and Devon Achane, especially going into this game, you don't even have Julian Hill. Who you got?
Dude, Baker Mayfield was down to like his fifth and sixth wide
receiver. I didn't ask you that question, sir. My point is,
Omar,
who you got?
Omar, the point is, it sucks to be him right now, but you still got to make crap. It's not like we're going to go into the game and prepare for us to suck offensively because we're missing guys. Doesn't work like that.
I didn't say it does.
Especially when you're getting, $53 million a year, even though that's not the right number.
I asked you again, who is going to step up? And you still avoid the question. Answer. Is it going to be Nick Westbrook Ikhine?
No, it's going to be Malik Washington, who's going to get probably 13 catches for 20 yards.
4.7 yards per catch?
Yeah, he's going to get 13 catches for 20 yards. I mean,
13 for 20.
Is it going to be Cedric Wilson gonna put on his cape and play Superman? Come in.
No, you know,
it's Tanner Connor. It's Tanner Connor.
Well, Omar, who it needs to be, there's one player it needs to be, and that's the whole point of all of this. It needs to be Tua himself. Okay. It's that simple. We keep looking for who gonna step up over here and over there. When you're making that kind of money, we need you to actually fill some of these gaps that we have.
You sure do.
And that's where he falls short. And that's no pun intended, but that's where he comes up to it. And don't get the job. That wasn't a joke. It just happened.
Rolled off the tongue.
No pun intended.
He could do about it.
Omar, what was it? It's $53 million a year, right? I'm not sure the number.
38. Tell him, Omar. 42. Yeah, 42.
I want to see how quickly Omar gets agitated.
Yeah, So, I stayed out of that one. I'm tired of getting yelled at in the chat. So looking at Tua, we'll talk about Tua real quick, and then we'll get to the sleeper picks. How short's his leash? Is he obviously he's not getting pulled anytime soon? You know, at least not until the bye week, and then we'll see if we won another game. But how short's his leash? You know, how is he going to have a bounce back game? He normally has bounce back games, but unfortunately this season he has yet to have a bounce back game. You know, you could say the Jets game was kind of a bounce back game, but he normally, again, you go through his whole entire career as a Miami Dolphin, he's had a game where it's been, holy crap, that's bad, and then he bounces back. Haven't seen it.
I could tell you, they're not getting any snaps. The other guys, they're not getting any snaps. I watched Red Zone today. They're not getting any snaps. So this is all about Tua developing chemistry, figuring out routes, how guys run routes, where the ball placement, that's where his strength is. That's where his lane is. He is throwing to a bunch of strangers. Now, he has worked with them in the offseason, worked with them in OTAs, but these are new routes that are game plan specific, not making it an excuse because everything is to his fault. Let's put that on the table. So he took all the reps, and I asked this week, how much does the number two get work? They don't.
Mm.
And they run the scout team. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, so technically, if Tua gets hurt, y'all are screwed. And
it might be a reason. It might be a reason why every time there's a backup that's come in the past couple of years, other than Teddy B, that the product has been so bad. Plus the fact that there were kind of jag backup quarterbacks, if we're going to be honest about it.
They were good, yes.
Let me ask you guys a question. Now, it seems like you were just the backup again from what I'm picking up. I don't remember who reported.
He said it was a competition this week.
And it's ongoing. He said today it's ongoing.
But I will say, how is that? And this is where I get to my point. It was a shock to Wilson on Sunday that he was demoted to emergency. Mm-hmm. You guys, how much practice, first off, how much practice do you guys see? And second of all, my hypothesis is that Wilson was so bad in practice that they put yours as the backup. Is that a bad hypothesis? And how much practice do you
My have? Hypothesis is that they went into that game, Cleveland, with bad weather, saying we're going to need a quarterback that can improvise and a quarterback that throws accurate passes. Zach Wilson is neither. Quinn Ewers is that player, not necessarily the accurate passes, but he improvises as well.
Mm.
What you making that face for?
I'm making that face because Wilson's the one who can make plays off schedule because he's got better mobility and he's got a better arm. Mm. Ewers is going to be the one who's more accurate, especially in bad conditions. Absolutely, but
I disagree with you. I think Ewers makes plays off schedule better than. Zach Wilson, even if he's running and if he's on the move, he's not throwing an accurate pass.
He's got the ability to do so, and he's got, again.
I'm not waiting for him every third time he throws a ball that he can be hot.
He's spotty on the accuracy. I'm going to give you that. But the whole point, I want to chime in on the other one, because I've said this before. To me, again, as long as Mike McDaniel remains the head coach, his sole focus is and should be win games as opposed to player evaluation, which is why it makes zero sense to go with anybody other than Tua, because he's still right now by far the best quarterback on this roster.
So now, no, Doug said about the leash, though, going off of what you're saying, Alan. So y'all don't think that if Tua goes out there, here we are in the middle of the third, and he just had his third pick again.
Third pick?
Mike don't sit him down?
Oh, if the game's out of reach, yeah.
Absolutely. And maybe not even out of reach, but it's getting out of control with what he's doing. You're down by 12 in the fourth quarter and ain't start, but you on your third pick. And nothing else going, just like last week, the regular Florida offense not moving. There's still no, so we got to wait till it's absolutely out of reach, or does he evaluate yours?
I think, go ahead.
No, I doubt it that he would make a move if the game is still in doubt.
Okay.
I think if you're going to play Ewers, you're going to play him with a week's worth of preparation. You're going to play him with a game for him. You're not going to put him out there raw dog, as Tyreek used to say, and just have him wing it.
Derek Shelby.
So Omar, with that being said, then let's shift the weeks. Here we are. We got a bye week coming up in about 2-3 weeks, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If Tua has 3 bad games, are we looking to make a shift potentially at that position on the bye week?
I think you make a shift at the end of in December, if you make a shift. I have timetable for 2 things. One, I don't think they're going to change Mike until maybe after Baltimore. If it's not Baltimore, it's going to be after Spain.
Oh, not Mike. I'm talking Tua.
I'm just giving you my whole arsenal. Gotcha. Who's going to be the interim? I have no idea, because it damn sure can't be Anthony Weaver. He runs the worst defense in the NFL right at this present moment. And if they weren't the worst defense in the NFL, you would have a better record. Your season wouldn't be in the tank. With that over there, if they do make a switch at quarterback, if they do make a switch at head coach, then I think we're definitely going to see what our young quarterback has in December. And it's going to, and there's no, in my opinion, there's no reason to go back to Zach Wilson. He's not going to be the number 2 quarterback next year. You're not going to re-sign him for whatever, unless he's signing for the minimum.
Yeah.
You paid 2 times, if not 3 times more than you should have paid for him, in terms of $6 million. Yeah. Ewers has shown you some upside. Will I feel comfortable with him in the game? Is he ready to play in the game? I've asked and everybody said no. But, When we get to that point where we're organically tanking,
Ewers looked good last week in the fourth quarter.
But Omar, what you're saying there is about, is he ready to be in the game? That's why I didn't want him. Because by halftime, or it was like by the middle of the third quarter, people wanted Ewers to go in. And I was like, this isn't the game to put him in there, because
That's a hell of a defense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm like, all right, put Zach Wilson in, because he's a vet. He's been there. You know, he knows the nuances of the game. That was a bad spot. But let's get into.
He did well enough.
He did all right. But again, you saw like the bad snap. You saw the instant pressure. You saw like all the things that I was like.
Saw him take a hit on a deep ball to keep the drive going.
Right. He had one throw where.
Great throw.
Yeah. Big time.
In the face of pressure.
Yep.
It was a wish and a prayer.
These sleeper.
Make some of them.
40-yard completion. Passer rating on that particular play, Omar, was off through the roof. And we love passer rating.
Yeah, I heard something about passer rating recently. It's somebody who has a high pass rater now. Justin Herbert, higher than Tua's all time, Omar, something like that.
It's all good. Justin Herbert balled last week.
I'm proud of you, man. Come to your sister.
I'm looking at him in a different light. Ball.
Hey man, last
he still came off an interview as an awkward duck though. But
last playoff game, this I think it was past season against the Houston Texans. I tweeted out and everything. I was like, this is the game Justin Herbert finally wins his playoff game, and watch him play in this game. And it blew up in my face. So people like to say, you know, me and Omar say positive things about Tua, but we also objectively know that Justin Herbert is a really good quarterback. So it's like, it is what it is.
He's balling.
I wouldn't put him up elite. When he wins a playoff game, I'll put him in elite. He's not up there yet. So over unders, more or lesses, rapid fire. Tua, 193.5 passing yards.
Can I take this one? Because I did some research today.
Please.
You know the highest passing yardage total allowed by the Falcons so far this season? .80 to Josh Allen. So I'm gonna
I was actually gonna take the less on that one because of 80? How good that pass defense is.
.80.
That pass defense is, I'm telling you.
Go over. I'm telling you, this one.
And they're in, and that's what sucks too, is they're in a dome. So this is like perfect, but you're facing a very good pass defense. So,
yeah. Their secondary is very, very good.
Now by 22 get yards.
Michael Penix, 218.5 passing yards.
Yeah.
More?
Over. What has this defense shown you they can do?
Yeah, but we're probably going to run the ball.
Well, the Dolphins are allowing the highest passer quarterback passer rating in the NFL. It is a 113.9.
Nick Westbrook Akine, 20 and a half receiving yards.
Under.
I took him last week. Boy.
Malik Washington, 26 and a half passing yards, receiving yards.
On 11 receptions. I'm sorry.
Screen.
That's all they're throwing to.
Yeah.
Where are the deep digs?
Is it because he has a hard time getting off of press? Do you think that's why? Or do you think he's not seeing them? Because he's not the first or second read.
Can he get open downfield? If you can't see me, I can't see you.
Doc, here's another question. Can he get open downfield? He's not a very fast guy.
We've seen him get open downfield in training camp.
Like I said, against a defense that's allowing 113 passer rating, can he get open downfield?
All right.
Kentucky came out on that one. Like I said.
I said.
I got one for you guys. You ready for this one? Riley Patterson. 1.5 field goals made.
Over.
Man, they don't have Waddle sightings on there?
But
he's injured this week.
62.5 receiving yards for Waddle.
62.5?
His average is like 59 for the season.
It's like anytime touchdowns. What about Parker Romo? 1.5 field goals made for Atlanta.
You know what? I was about to say,
who is that?
I would put money on Tanner Connor anytime touchdown.
Let me see. You got, Tanner Connor.
I mean, not a lot of money.
Take them more.
Not a lot of money, but.
Not a lot of money. Greg Dulcich.
Anytime touchdown.
Saw him running today. Quite stiff.
Really?
Runs like, quite stiff.
Mm.
I'm like looking at him and I'm like, you caught 40 passes in the NFL?
Let's talk about this defense, because to me that is the biggest thing.
Very mechanical,
like Rob Gronkowski-esque.
Yeah, okay, that's a very good comparison. Yeah,
yeah. No knees, and they put him in the back on that Miami Miracle. Such a stupid idea. Hey, Ken Weaver's defense dig its way out. I'm going to be very blunt and to the point. No. I don't think so. It's been 7 weeks and nothing's changed. Every running back has had at least 100 yards on us, almost 100 yards. I have no faith. So, Omar?
I keep putting my faith in this team. And they keep letting me down.
Welcome to being a Dolphin fan.
Everybody's on the trade block. This is a showcase game. I'm going to say yes. A lot of people are injured in Atlanta. If Drake May is not 100% healthy. Drake London.
You're on your mind, Omar. It's all right. I get it.
All the arm queens are all the strong arm quarterbacks.
You can't see over the line either. there's really one guy you got to contain. Yeah. It shouldn't be that hard, especially when Jordan Brooks is on him. Let's hope.
You're talking about Bijan Robinson?
Yeah.
Do you think Jordan Brooks can cover him? By the way, reminder, when the Dolphins played the Falcons 4 years ago today, Kyle Pitts had 162 yards receiving.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Not just Bijan Robinson. They got
I forgot about him.
Drake London.
It took him two plays to get into field goal range.
Yep.
Yeah. Penix getting Pitts involved too.
Was it Mariota the quarterback?
It was Matt Ryan, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Matt Ryan.
So
that was I think it was that game or the Jaguars game where I was like, I was ready to just end it. And I was like, all right.
Final play was on Xavier Howard too. They got him in the field goal territory.
Because it was and the Jaguars game, it was Jaguars in London, we lost by a last second field goal, then Falcons. And I was like, we're 1-7, the start over. But no, status quo.
Seven game winning streak.
Against garbage.
Hey, man, they can still produce a winning record. They just have to win 8 of the next 10.
I don't want them to be honest with you. Because if it saves jobs, I don't want them to.
Man, they're going to lose them two the next 2 weeks. Let's stop.
What kind of a fan is that? You want them to lose because you absolutely want a regime change?
Listen. I don't want my team.
People came into the season with that hope.
I know.
I don't want my team to lose, but I already know what time it is. That's all. I do not want them to lose. I even hold out hope even today. Like, lie to me. Like, win this game and lie to me and give me hope for the next week. But as far as the defense, though, Doug, I got to ask you this. So when you say dig themselves out of a hole, are you saying play well enough for us to win games or win the game for the team?
No, play well enough. Win the game.
I'm glad you're the 16th defense in the NFL.
I'm glad you said that. I feel like they play well enough for the Chargers to win the game. If we didn't mess up on the offense, I feel like they play well enough versus the Panthers to win the game. If we didn't mess up on offense, same with the Bills. I feel like we played well enough to win the game if we didn't mess up on offense. The Patriots as well. One possession game. I feel like we played well enough if we didn't turn the ball over on offense. So I mean, we it's possible.
You realize they were a turnstile in all those games, right? Might as well throw the Indy game in there too.
And still, no. What you don't realize is a lot of those games, even though they were scoring, they were holding teams to a lot of field goals too. They were holding teams to field goals, but our offense was not answering the call. Okay. See, what the reality is, you want the defense to win the game. You want them to play perfect.
Well, here,
I just want them to hold the lead that they are given.
I'll push back on the offense not answering against the Chargers. And again, yeah, the Chargers, the offense answered back. They gave them the defense 45 seconds to do something.
46.
The offense definitely answered back in the Chargers game.
See, people don't think about the game of football in its entirety. They only think about what happened at the end. We were in a position.
Yeah.
Like, what about no? So you get to, I made this analogy earlier today. It's like taking a test in school. I took it one time. I was 10 for 10 and I got a 100%. Omar took it and he got a 60%. Okay. Now all of a sudden the teacher says, Omar, I'm allow you to retake it. And no matter if you do retake it, I'm gonna give you an extra 5 points. So Omar goes and studies. Omar gets 100. Now he gets 105. He gets 105. Why does Omar get a higher score than me? He dug the hole to begin with. He the one that didn't study.
TD, let me ask you this. Hypothetical. Tua, 3 touchdowns, 250 yards, right?
Okay.
We're down by 3.
Mm-hmm.
We go 3 and out. Okay. We lose the game. What are you remembering?
What else happened in the rest of those drives?
You know for a fact you're going to say Tua could not win us the game
it depends on the context. It depends on the context of the game. It depends on the context.
That's his greatest hit. What are you talking about?
No, the problem is.
That is his greatest hit.
I remember. What did you do? I remember. I remember 3 years ago, Tua Tagovailoa played the Buffalo Bills in like week 13 or 14 or something like that. It was the only game where he had a good game and we actually lost. I don't remember. It was a Buffalo game, week 13 or 14. And that's all I'm saying. But y'all diminished the fact that the man had 3 interceptions versus the Chargers. And we lost by 2 points. And we
Are you seriously they're going to absolve the defense of any blame?
Alan, I'm not absolving. What I'm saying is, regardless of how bad they were, they played to a point that we could have still won the game. We could have still won the game, Alan. That's all I'm saying.
They also had the game in their grasp if they had gotten the final stop. To me, it was both. The offense wasn't blameless because there were 3 picks and there were garbage in the third quarter. But to say the offense didn't lose that game, come on, it's just
I didn't say that the offense absolutely lost the game, but they could have won the game. We had three turnovers. That's the craziest thing to me. A team that a quarterback turns it over three times. That's like it's like having 0-0 the whole game, and your quarterback keeps throwing picks. TD,
here's the thing: that Chargers game, that third turnover didn't happen until we lost the lead.
But y'all allow him to dig these holes. Act like he's the only one that brought the team back.
Act like
Tua I didn't say that
all the time.
It's not that, Omar. We act like he the one that gave us the lead. Most of these times, A-Chain take it up the field 50 yards and he throw too fast.
He's the one that gave you the lead. Darren Waller, he threw the drive.
Omar, guess what it requires in order to dig out of a hole? Defensive stops. But no, we'll look past that. When the offense was coming back, what does it require to actually officially come back? Okay. Defensive stops.
Oh, okay.
And they did that. They give up one at the end. We just forget about what they do early in the game, man. Those turnovers are killing us.
And you forget about what the defense does early in the game. Allowing touchdowns and points.
Defense is all around the league out here getting smoked. Like
three games where nobody had to punt the ball.
Defense is all around the league getting smoked any given week. And the teams that still winning, they quarterbacks not turning the football over. There's teams out here giving 500 offensive yards and still winning because the offense ain't turning it over.
Look at who we got hanging out in the chat.
Nah.
It's the Fish Tank. Shout out to the Fish Tank. Go subscribe to their channel. Shout out to the guys hanging out. Appreciate you guys. We went off a little bit on the tangent. Think that the defense doesn't need to dig itself out. You think that the offense, and again, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Fine, right, TD?
I already know what the defense is. Look at what money you got on it. Look at what personnel. So why aren't we talking about the reality? We out here talk about can they dig themselves out? All four of us know who they are and what they are as a unit.
And that's a problem,
though. No, the problem is who is it actually on? This is where the money is. There's a trade-off in the NFL. If you put 60% of your cap on one side, they should do more carrying.
This is Tua's fault, too. Okay.
Can we not agree that the Dolphin defense, while undermanned in terms of personnel, also has had several guys underperforming way below expectations, which is part of the problem? Zach Sealer, Chop Robinson.
Chubb. Phillips.
Minka's been on
there. Jalen Phillips.
Whatever. These are guys who are supposed to be better than they are.
I think Terrell Dotson has been fine.
All the people that's underperforming is because y'all thought too highly of them to begin with when they were system guys. They were always system guys with guys next to them, making them look good. It's the same. I used to say this with Flores defense on that zero blitz. O-lines don't know who coming. It's like Christmas for everybody. Systems sometimes make guys look better than they are. Then they become a household name, and then they get out there, a team trade for them, put them on an island, and they're just absolutely lost.
They have the same system they had last year. Are we going to suggest that Zach Sealer's drop-off is strictly because he doesn't have Calais Campbell next to him now?
Who's filling that role for Calais Campbell, playing that dominant, disrupting the backfield, making life easier for everybody around him?
It's not like Zach Sealer didn't make any plays by himself last year either. It wasn't like all Campbell making him look good.
Yeah, of course, we're not saying he make none by himself, but it still plays a part overall.
Sure, he still logically should play better than he has and be more productive than he has. Chop Robinson is another one who, based on his play in the second half of last year, you're expecting a hell of a lot more than we've gotten. If those guys bring up their level of play all at the same time, yes, the defense can quote-unquote dig itself out of the hole to a certain degree because the talent level is not there to become a top-five defense, but they can at least be respectable and give the offense a chance to win the game.
I never thought any of them were that good.
Okay.
He's right, though.
My point is, I'm not saying TD's wrong, because there are games where I've even said, I think it was the Panthers game, a whole third quarter, the offense did nothing when the defense forced punts. And I'm not saying you're wrong. The thing I'm just disagreeing with is that last drive definitely means more when the game's on the line, right? Because you know for a fact, Tua played great And then that last drive, like the Buffalo game, he throws that interception that costs us the game. You don't care about the rest of the game. It's that interception. And I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not crazy. At the end of the day, if you give the defense the lead and it's on them to close it out, of course you're going to put it on them because they didn't. Mm. But it could have been avoided. We ignore the avoidance field goals. Of it. Yes, like all kind of stuff. It could be a missed field goal we had. It could be the offense stalling several times. Yeah. It could be McDaniel blowing timeouts where we could have had more time in that moment. But we always just go straight to them due to the circumstance. These guys are going to bend, and they can only last for so long. Yeah.
They haven't lasted yet. They haven't showed up yet.
I disagree. There's several games where they've actually stuck in there for us.
They are the
worst. We just don't pay attention to early on. NFL,
defensively. Worst. Mm-hmm.
I get that.
No, 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 no. By what metric?
They're yardage. Worst. Yardage.
No, they're not.
Passerating. Run defense.
Hold on. I'll debunk that very easily, Omar. What else are we number? What are we number one on? The thing that keeps the defense on the field.
What are you
turning doing? The football over?
Oh, you're not number one on
that. No, we're not number one.
But we're not number one throwing picks.
No.
I don't think so.
Tied for first.
Who got more picks?
He's tied for first.
I thought he was tied with Gino or somebody.
Yes, he's tied with Gino.
Yes, and don't even get me started on the fumbles he has.
Chicago, Jacksonville, Detroit, Indianapolis, that's takeaways. Sorry, my bad.
They're tied for first in giveaways with 12.
Yes, they are tied.
We're number one. Our defense is on the field a long time.
They're on the field a long time also because they can't get off on third down.
And we know that. That's why you have to play offense to help the defense.
Staying on the field on third down.
No, are you kidding? The top staying on the field, Doug? Mm-hmm.
Before last week, they were number three in third downs.
All them third downs. I'm talking about staying on the field, period. What I'm saying to you is if you want the defense to stay off the field longer, if you don't turn the ball over and sustain drives, they won't be exposed as much. They're getting exposed a lot. These turnovers.
They're getting exposed now. I will agree with you on turnovers, but we're talking about two games.
Overall, the team's bad.
we know that. But again, y'all, if this was Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, any of these guys, we would have expected them to do the carrying with games being this close. Why are you blowing it in the middle of the game?
I'll say this. Going into this season, saying that the Dolphins averaged, 24 points, give or take 20 points a game? Because there's a stretch from the Patriots until the Chargers game where this offense scored 27, 21, 21, 24, 27, I think we'd win at least more than one of them. You're scoring, that many points, but no. And again, like you said, maybe some of us expected more out of Chubb coming back and Phillips coming back and Sealer. The
NFL average for points is like 20. So if I score 24 points a game, I'll take that.
What is the average when you're turning the ball over? For the other team to score. This is what y'all not getting. If you turn the ball over three times a game, you're going to give up more points in the NFL. You're going to.
You're talking about two games, TD.
It's not just two games. The man has had an interception in every game except one. Every game, Omar, and you know they come in bunches. Yeah, you didn't think about that. The only game he didn't turn it over. Guess what happened in the only game Tua didn't turn the ball over, people? Guess what happened? We won.
They played the Jets.
Yeah, but we won, and we would have lost that if he turned it over.
All right.
He didn't throw an interception against Carolina.
Let's go.
You sure about that, Doug?
Yeah, we should move on to a different topic.
Yes.
256 yards, three touchdowns.
Did he have a fumble loss?
120, I don't know. But 122 passer rating. That's for Omar. real quick before we get to the donations, is this the turning point for the rookies? And this kind of coincides with what we were talking about before, with keeping the rookies out there and seeing what you got. I think it's at the point in the season where is it still detrimental to their growth if they're struggling? I'll throw that out there. And do you guys think this is real quick? Is this the turning point for the rookies?
Gotta be. Because you played like poop for the first half of the season. We are now officially, when Sunday wraps up, we're going to be 8 games into the season. As they tell you, based on the exhibition game, you'll have played 3 exhibition games, so you'll be 11 games into the season. You should be playing like an experienced player at this point. And so I've said from the very beginning, I'm not going to just destroy the rookies. I'm not going to critically judge them. I literally haven't had a conversation with Jonas Avenia all year, really. And after Sunday, gloves are off. You need to be playing like you're an NFL player.
And you know what? Sorry, go ahead, Omar.
That's Jonah. That's Jordan Phillips. That's Kenneth Grant, who has improved, by the way. He's had two pretty decent games. They've limited what they've asked him to do, and that's the thing I noticed about this was the first year that Mike McDaniel really didn't just he was always about giving rookies small doses, seeing if they can handle the dose, and then when they handle the dose, give them more. This year they're like, here are the plates right in front of your face, plates full of food, go eat.
And they were gonna do the rosters before though. They didn't need the rookies as much as they did this year.
Yeah, man. They say they were gonna do that.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a wise idea.
What's painful to me is seeing the guys that they could have had that they bypassed, whether it's Tyler Warren at 14, whether it's Aronde Gadsden too, every time I watch him fall out, the Dolphins had 3 shots at him in the 5th round and didn't take many of them.
Correct.
They could have had Tate Radledge as guard instead of Jonah without having to move up, or Jared Wilson, who's starting for the Patriots, who's playing by all accounts pretty well too. That's what's really frustrating. Now, it's 7 games into the rookie season. It's too early to make a definitive judgment, but early on, damn, that's frustrating.
Before we get to the donations, back to that Panthers game real quick, TD. 0 turnovers. Panthers had 2 turnovers.
So he had 2 out of 7 that he didn't turn the ball over.
And we should have won that Panthers game, but
what happened?
It is what it is. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. We broke 9,000 subs. We're at 9,020 subs. Yeah. And be sure to hit the like button if you like the stream. And if you like these 3 gentlemen.
What about you? We love you, dog. Come on.
Read the chat. Read the chat.
Hey, man.
I will say this. Dolphin fans are just angry. It's funny at the end of the day. Ian with the $2 donation. So Tua needs to see his receivers or he's throwing to spots. I guess.
It's an either or question. We're going, yes.
Sure.
One of the two will get you the completion.
There you go. Red Hood with the fiver says Vikings need a quarterback and Flores' favorite quarterback needs to be saved from a trash organization. Who says no? I said this.
Tua says no.
I think I tweeted this out before going to physical therapy this morning. I said if Flores gets a head coaching job, why not?
Why not what?
Why not who to Minnesota?
Well, he wouldn't get the head coaching job in Minnesota.
O'Shea with the 20er says, love the show. We appreciate you, bud. Why not move Greer to another position? He will. And let you're talking about right now. And let Marvin Allen GM for the rest of the year. He's well-respected and may do good. Thoughts? I like Riddick, but he believes in Tua, so that's a showstopper for me.
Thank you. Thank you, O'Shea. Thank you. Exactly what I've been saying.
That doesn't mean he's going to not draft a quarterback.
I think that all 4 of us are in agreement that it's time to move on. Right? Like all 4 of us can agree it's time to move on from Tua. Is right?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
So I'm the only. So wait a second.
Hold on.
Wait
a
second.
You mean this year? You mean after this year?
After this year.
They're not going to. He's got this
cap. It's not about going to or not. Do you think it's time to move on from Tua?
Yes, I think it's diminishing returns, but they're not going to. And then it's too cap painful. If they can find somebody to trade for him, that would be awesome. But good luck with that.
Remember, yeah, I don't think they should move on. They need to figure this out. Get them a good old line. Get them Alabama receiving core, 5 all pros. Bring Jonnu and Waller back, you know, put them together.
Our producer, I need you to clip this.
No, I'm just saying, you know, get that vintage Mostert back with some A-Chain. Man, and we butter.
Vintage Mostert. I don't even think he's contributing with the Raiders.
Eric with the Fiverr said, gentlemen, any theories on why McDaniel never attempted to get a new OC or play caller from the 49ers to help him? No offense to Frank Smith. I don't think it necessarily is about getting one. It's about relinquishing play calling. And that man will never relinquish play calling. Nah.
As somebody told me, I don't know who, throughout my career, he explained it to me like this. These offensive gurus, these guys, because understand, McDaniel never got play calling ability till he got to Miami. Mm-hmm. They worked their entire career to put themselves in position to call plays. And you got a team where it's your team and your plays and your design and your concept. I'm not putting it in nobody else's hands but mine. And that's really what it is. Like, what do you want Mike to do? Go call defense?
Like, be a head coach.
He's a head coach. Calling plays, and you will like it.
Yeah, I think most coaches are calling plays. Even the Andy Reids of the world, who say they're not calling plays. They're pulling the Ozzie Newsome.
McVay and
Reid. They're pulling Ozzie Newsome where they're saying they're not doing it, but they're really doing it.
Do you think it's more the offensive coaches that's really calling plays?
Yeah. Defensive coaches call plays too.
But they're more likely to relinquish it to their quarterback. Brian
Flores did not call plays.
Yeah.
He didn't. Not on defense.
There was a point where he started calling, I think.
No, he didn't. He empowered Gerald Alexander, but he created the plan. He did not call the plays. He called, he said, I want specifically this right now. But he did not call the plays.
Dedrick with the $20 donation said Tua was Ross's pick. I'll
make a pick.
Think about it. In 2018, he wanted Lamar. Greer took Minka. In 2020, Lamar is a reigning MVP and Minka is an all-pro for Pitt. Ross forced Tua, hence why Greer picked a quarterback that Flores didn't want and still has a job. We've talked about that a lot. If you guys want to go back in the offseason, if Flores didn't want Tua, they would not have taken Tua.
Greer has said it on all the time, on record, to me, to others. If my head coach does not want to coach the quarterback, I'm not giving him the quarterback.
Yeah, but y'all slid.
Omar, if the owner wants the quarterback and your coach doesn't like him, who do you think is going to win? Diedrich, I don't think your theory is – outlandish or over.
Yeah, but that's a play on words because I've heard that even from Omar, and you were very specific. Flores never said he didn't want him, but he also never said he did.
He wasn't open about it. That's correct. But if he was vocal about not wanting him, which could have been the case, because he certainly put Tua through a lot of harassment during the draft process to see if he can handle harsh coaching. Clearly he can't. And there's a lot of things wrong with Flores, but I'm not going to sit here and say Tua wouldn't have been here. If Flores hadn't spoken up. From what I know from people in the room, Flores wanted to go to an offensive lineman, the one that ended up with Georgia or Wirfs. And then go Love at 18. There was no guarantee that Love was going to be there at 18. It could have been a situation where you had where in 2008 where they wanted Jake Long and then Joe Flacco. Mm. But Baltimore beat them to Joe Flacco. So what happens if somebody beats you to Jordan Love? So that led the conversation to let's pick our quarterback now.
Man, if we would have just listened.
And Lord, and that's the one thing I won't let nobody, because I get this stuff immediately after the draft. The one thing I won't let anybody lie about is that Flores wanted Herbert, because that is not the case.
Man, oh man.
Ian with the Fiverr said, if Tua turns the ball over in bunches again in this game, which he seems to find funny. I don't think he finds it funny.
He made a joke about it. Like, you know, didn't one of y'all tell me I'd do it in bunches? Then he laughed.
Do you see any actual benching and putting in Ewers early?
If he throws three picks, he'll be pulled.
Yeah.
If the game's out of reach.
I don't think so. Okay. If he throws three picks, he'll be pulled.
First quarter, baby.
I think Mike is trying to get tough on players. Yes, and I think that's come as a result of a tough conversation with Steve Ross. Now, getting tough on players, it's funny because I waited until Friday to figure out, okay, you're getting tough on players. What's the changes that you're going to make? There are no changes.
Correct.
Like, so maybe you're changing – like who's inactive and who's active, but really
he's already showing you the change.
Let's see on Sunday, and we see Zeke Biggers being in healthy and active again.
Oh my God, yeah. Right. I mean, come on.
I don't know. I think it's coming out of his verbiage on the podium.
And if we're investing in Matthew Butler, who is a 3-year veteran, really has no future with the league, why are we not investing in Zeke Biggers? Who could also help you on special teams because he could block punts, he could block kicks.
Mm-hmm.
What? But you know, why are we also playing D. Eskridge, who is the only guy who actually has speed on the team?
I made the great catch on the 40-yard pass when you were.
So you know how Omar gets labeled as a two-and-ear? I think he's an
Eskridge-ear.
No, yeah, no.
He loves him some D. Eskridge.
D. Eskridge was like outperformed Malik Washington, in my opinion, in training camp. He damn sure outperformed Nick Westbrook Ikhine. Like, and he's he's got the dog to me. Now, the politics of the whatever. Okay. I'm advocating for Taj Washington too. He's the only guy who can make people miss.
Mm-hmm.
So in training camp, yes.
In training camp and the exhibition season.
We haven't even seen him.
You need playmakers right now, right this minute. Right now.
There's somebody in here who told you guys, and especially Doug, like, don't expect a whole lot of contributions from
them. Look at us. We're asking for D. Eskridge and Taj Washington.
Right now. Tell me who I asked you early in the show. Who is going to step up? And you ain't say not a name.
That's why.
Who would have put on a cape?
Let's run through these quick. We're running out of time.
I said what I said. You want Tua to put on a cape?
Do you not want him to put on a cape, Omar?
It's a free-for-all. It's like
this.
No B with the fiver says, surely Tua makes enough to afford a pair of pumps. I think so, man. Aaron with the fiver says,
priceless.
Since the Tua era is about to end this year or next year, where does he rank in Dolphins quarterback history? Also, would you rather face Cousins or Penix? We answered the bottom one. I'm going to let these two answer that.
Where's he ranking in Dolphins history?
In terms of body of work, you have to put him third behind Marino and Greasy. In terms of, I'd still take Chad Pennington over him.
Interesting.
But Pennington got hurt like his second year. Say, well, Omar?
I said Barry doesn't know how to play well with others. That's why. Keep moving.
Hey now.
What happened? What did I miss? Eric with the tour says, Omar, how compare? Yeah. There you go. Black Ops Zombie with the fiver says, for the panel, give me your dream head coach candidate without thinking. Go. Love the show, fellas. I don't want to give my list up. I have a list of 9 and 9. I don't want to give it up yet.
You have 9?
Anthony Campanelli.
I got 9 GMs, 9 head coaches. I'll throw one out there. Darren Rizzi.
I love Darren.
I love Darren, and Ross likes Darren too. But you know,
staff? Dan Campbell, right? Came here, interim head coach, didn't work. Who do you go with for 4 years? Became a head coach. Yep. Darren Rizzi, who has he been with? Mm-hmm. I'll be a coach. I'm saying, putting the pieces together.
No, Rizzi's a leader of men, no question about it. And I thought Rizzi deserved to be on this staff. And in fact, Ross asked McDaniel about Rizzi and requested he interview him, and he didn't.
Well, I'm writing that down.
Well, also there was some, I don't want to say bad blood, but some resentment that Rizzi didn't get the job because Rizzi interviewed.
Yes, but Rizzi and Ross are good. It's really Mike did not want Rizzi on the staff, and probably because I'm not sure Mike can handle somebody who will bark at players.
Not only that, you have a ready-made interim head coach if things go.
Look at Vic Fangio. What happened with Vic Fangio?
Never thought about that.
McDaniel. Lou with the fiver says, why isn't Theo Weiss playing? He looked really good in the preseason and they can use his size. Why is the team in love with undersized players? Alan.
I saw this guy and I really liked him throughout the summer. Damn, he was productive. Then joint practice against Detroit, one-on-one, I was marveled in the wrong way about how he could not get open, how he did the movements just not there.
Garp Gump with the fiver says TD is way more right than wrong about Tua. LOL. I'm
trying to tell him, man.
Everyone should pat him on the back for being so right all along.
Got himself.
Brett McIntyre. Phil with the $20 donation. Omar says Ross doesn't want an experienced NFL head coach. While Chad Pennington is a high school coach, could he make the jump? That is a huge jump. I know Poop will poop on this idea, but at this stage, could things get much worse?
Why, yeah. why do I deserve this stray? Why would I poop on that idea? I actually like that Chad Pennington is some kind of smart.
But is that a big jump, right?
Or I believe that a football mind, a football savant with who has played should be running this team and this franchise. Yeah. And if you told me Chad Pennington is the GM of the Miami Dolphins, I'd say, all right, let's go.
That dude, yeah, he is some kind of smart.
He's bright. Yeah.
Chucky Wuggy with the fiver says, knowing this organization will probably win Sunday, we will end up going 7-8 and pick 15 to 20 mediocre again. When will it stop?
I'm sorry. This ain't a 7-8 team. And I think this team is circling the drain.
2043.
My kids are going to be, my son is probably, able to pick a team, I'm going to be like, pick a good, like, don't follow daddy. The pick a good team. Garp Gump with the fiver says Chubb crashing inside and giving up contains is a real problem. And I say this as a Chubb fan, and you're blocked from Chubb. Eric with the fiver says, do you think if Miami skips over Mendoza and the Jets draft him and becomes solid, that won't happen? If you think the Dolphins are bad at taking quarterbacks, would that be another egg in Ross's face? That's if we stay crappy. Honestly, again, I put my tinfoil hat on. I think he hasn't made a move because he wants that number one overall pick so he can get his quarterback. And I think it's Mendoza.
The next banner plane needs to just simply say booty cheeks. Just booty cheeks.
Get it done. We have 695 people in here. One of you guys can get that banner going. Wow. Get it done. Booty cheeks.
Dolphins are booty cheeks.
Booty cheeks. Do it Thursday
Fire
night.
Everyone.
Thursday night football. Booty cheeks. And they'll pan it up, and then they'll find Omar. Mr. 305 with the $2 donation. With NBA news, thoughts on the 2023 Niners-Rams rigged? Oh, with all the betting.
I know. I'm trying to remember what game are we talking about here? The
Niners Rams.
Hey, that ain't got nothing to do with the NFL right now.
Yeah,
I understand why Flores threw you out. Threw me out of what? I did get suspended for practice. I didn't get thrown out of nothing.
You got pow-powed.
I haven't been pow-powed in a little while. I'm wondering.
What you did, Omar?
Huh?
What you did? Flores did it.
Yeah, Flores suspended me. Yeah. You want to know that?
Soft. Flores is soft.
Listen,
really?
I'll tell you, he suspended me for explaining his offense too well by telling you hypothetical plays that didn't happen because none of those players ever practiced together. That's what I got suspended for.
WF.
I wrote a profile piece explaining the RPO offense and what RPO is and how it works.
That man's soft.
Brian Flores is mad about.
Is that true, Alan? You sure he ain't catch him smiling at Tua?
Omar doesn't lie.
Ian with the Viber says, having Bijan in fantasy, yeah, he's super excited. He gets to play the Finns defense. Hope no one shows up to the Ravens game. It's a repeat of the 2023 game. I actually have the backup, and I'm still debating if I'm going to play the backup.
What do you have, Algier?
Yeah.
He's got to make sure he plays.
I know. That's why I'm waiting. I'm good at running back, but if he plays, I might throw him in. Eric with the tour said, would have Saban benched Tua by now? This team would have been different if we had Saban as the head coach. He did well.
And he ran out of here first thing smoking.
Shannon Tucker with the Fiver says, keep in mind play calling change depending on the lead. The offense may not be as aggressive. That could play into the defense stops too.
That's fair.
That's smart, Shannon. Black Ops with the tenor. Chat eggs on Doug. Doug gives his opinion. Chat now hates Doug because of their personal confirmation bias. Doug has to constantly explain himself because of the chat. Leave him alone. I'm fine. Man, I've been doing this for 8 years. Nothing gets to me. I've had people threaten me.
Doug, was that your wife chiming in?
Right. Wait till I see you at camp. Wait till I see you at the game. I've had people threaten me, and man, then they see people, my 6'5" tall butt, and they don't say anything to me. So I'm fine. I could take some smoke. I'm all right. And then finally, with the $2 donation, just want to say Dolphins are
booty.
Booty. Oh, I was like, shooty? Booty cheeks.
Shooty cheeks.
Shooty cheeks.
Brunty cheeks. Right?
Brunty. Use the promo code.
With the red bottoms.
Use the promo code.
Oh, I think that's the shoe that's in the...
It looks the same, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, man. We appreciate all of you. Again, we take all criticism, everything, to heart. We want this show to be the best for you guys, so we love all of you guys. We appreciate you helping us get to 9,000 subs, now on to 10. We'll keep growing. Hit the like button. Check Omar Kelly out at the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk on youtube.com/TD Fins Talk. Don't forget to check out the AFC's Roundtable and Roundtable Sports. And you can check me, youtube.com/DougLeDoWrong. We will see you Tuesday, 7:30, with a win, a loss. How bad? I don't know.
Please be a tie. See you Please Tuesday. Be a tie. Give me something.
Peace out, Cubs Scout.